Hello everyone from Paris, France. I'm Benjamin Vincent, creator, anchor and producer of iWeek, the Apple Week, the French weekly podcast on Apple ecosystem news, available for free on all major platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, Overcast and Podcast Addict. This is an English special edition of episode 135, recorded on Tuesday, May 2nd, 2023, from 8:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our very special guest this week is Bloomberg Apple journalist Mark Gurman for his second appearance on iWeek, the Apple Week podcast. Joining me to interview Mark are Eli Abitbol, co-founder MCS Group with four Apple Premium Resellers store in south of France and president of the French APRs, Gilles Dounès, former editor-in-chief at MacPlus.net and co-author iPod Backstage, Fabrice Neumann, technology mentor and consultant, and François Le Truédic, computer science teacher in Vannes, Brittany. To support iWeek, please go to patreon.com/iWeek and thank you for becoming part of the iWeek community on Patreon. Now it's time to welcome our guest, Mark Gurman. Hello, Mark. It's really great to have you back on iWeek, the Apple Week podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on with you all. I had a good time last time, and I'm glad to be here again, of course.
Mark, just as an appetizer, we'll be talking about each subject in a minute, but why is June the 5th so important for Apple and Tim Cook? What is at stake if you look at the big picture?
Yeah, I mean, WWDC, that's when it's going to be held, June 5th, 2023, for the 2023 version. It's always a big deal, right? They always announce the new versions of iOS, macOS, watchOS, you name it, which are core to the company over the next 18 months or so until the next version is released. So it's always a very important day for the state of the platforms. But for this year in particular, this will be the first time in nearly a decade where they're announcing an entirely new platform and a new paradigm, and in this case, something that they believe is their future, which is XR in mixed reality, right? And so you'll see the Apple headset announced alongside XROS, their new operating system, a new app store, a new developer kit, all for mixed reality, VR, AR. And so it's going to be quite significant. They really believe that mixed reality is sort of a bridge to an era beyond the iPhone, right? Just like the iPad was a bridge to an era beyond the Mac. That doesn't mean the iPhone is going to necessarily disappear or be completely replaced. It's just this is the thing after it, and we're working towards a new future, right? And June 5th, because that's when everything's going to be announced, is the beginning of that. That's what makes it so significant for the company.
It was on October 1st, 2021. He was our guest for the very first time on iWeek, the Apple Week podcast. Today he's back, and we're thrilled to have him back among us. Welcome back, Mark Gurman.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here. I can't believe it's been a year and a half, but glad that we could make this work, and was looking forward to doing this and glad to be here.
So let's make the most of it. In 2016, when you arrived from 9to5 Mac, Vox wrote that Bloomberg just hired a 22-year-old scoop machine. You were part of Time Magazine 25 top bloggers and wired 16 persons to follow for consumer tech. Your specialty is Apple, of course, Mark, and its competitors. We have that in common. But first, a question from Eli.
Yeah, that's kind of a quiz. Do you know this logo? Have you seen it?
I don't know. No. Doesn't look familiar.
No, well, that's an Apple logo. That's why I showed it to you. And that's the logo that it's for a new program for resellers. It's called the APR Champions. So it's actually for salespeople. And when they pass lots of tests, they give you like a gift like that with some stuff. and a letter saying cool. You're a champion. So
it was just it's our moment to teach you something. Now it's your turn for the rest of the show.
Oh, that's funny. Well, congratulations. Did that just happen for you?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you.
How did you build your network of information, Mark, without giving us any specific detail, of course, but is it after hanging out many times in Cupertino? Is it one person that you met one day and changed everything after you gained his or her trust? Or was it spontaneous from readers within Apple who contacted you? And how long did it take you to reach the level where you are today?
Well, you know, I've been covering Apple for, let's see, I started at 905 Mac around 2009, the very end of 2009. It's 2023 now, so nearly 14 years. And, wow. You know, it's been a good time. You know, Apple is such a fascinating company to cover, right? It's a company that, you know, I started covering the company because I'm so interested in their products and how the company works and sort of the what they like to call the magic behind it, and always wanted to peel back the curtain. So it's been a pleasure to write about Apple this long and get to talk about it, get to talk about their, you know, their upcoming initiatives. So it's really been a great opportunity, and I feel very lucky to be able to do this.
So a quick follow-up. How do you filter bad tips or unreliable sources? You know, today we have so many information from so many sources every day, so it's sometimes difficult to know who's right, who's wrong. So what's your secret?
You know, like I said, I've been covering the company for, you know, over a decade now. I'm very familiar, you know, with Apple, very familiar about what makes sense, what doesn't make much sense. And it's a terrific opportunity to get to write about Apple on a daily basis, right? And live and breathe this stuff. So, yeah, it's been a great decade plus, and, you know, I hope to keep doing this for the foreseeable future.
We hope so too. On espère aussi. Hein?
Mark, as a very close commentator of Apple's ecosystem, I'm sure, like all of us here at least, we have wishes on what new hardware and software features we would like to see. And does it sometimes make your work difficult? Like, you know, when Apple still doesn't announce something that you've been waiting for so long.
Does it make my work difficult? Not necessarily. I mean, there are some things that I absolutely am very excited to try out. Obviously, this mixed reality headset is going to be very significant, very high tech, very futuristic, very cool. This is something that they've been working on for a long time, something I've been writing about for years. And I'm very excited to, you know, get my hands on one as soon as I can and try it out and give my feedback and opinion on it, right? I mean, it's nice to write about the products for a long time, but it's even better to get to try them out after and sort of give my take, right, on the device. So I'm very much looking forward to trying out the headset.
Mark, WDC 23 starts on June 5th with a special event at Apple Park and a worldwide stream keynote. The much expected reality headset should make its first appearance, as you said. Can you confirm it for sure? Is it a sure thing? And what is the right way to call it? Is it extended reality? What is it exactly compared to other realities like virtual or augmented? And why do you think Apple made that specific choice of extended reality?
Yeah, so the headset will be at WWDC. I've written a few times. XR, you know, some people call it extended reality. Others call it mixed reality. I think Apple will call it mixed reality now. The two main realities are virtual reality and augmented reality. Virtual reality is you're fully enclosed. It's displays. Augmented reality is you have clear lenses, and it's sort of like Google Glass. You see information projected over, you know, what you're seeing. But mixed reality sort of is VR-based, right? At its core, it's VR. But then there's an AR mode integrated into it. So you can move between pure VR and sort of fake AR. Now I call it fake AR because instead of using your real eyesight instead of using clear lenses, it's actually cameras, right, replicating what you see in front of you. And that's what makes it mixed reality. The ability to transition between both VR and AR at any time, right? And so I think that's going to be a unique aspect of a product. But it's also a bit of a compromise. Obviously, the holy grail, so to speak, is pure AR, right? But that's not something that's necessarily technologically feasible at this point in time, right? So in order to get there, you want to get to mixed reality. I sort of look at it as there's three tiers of extended reality, right? There's VR is probably the easiest to implement. Mixed reality somewhere in the middle, and AR is the most difficult. And so Apple's starting off in the middle, and then eventually will probably work their way towards the more challenging AR-only systems.
Mark, so it seems that Apple, even Apple doesn't exactly know what the headset is going to be used for. A little bit like the Apple Watch at the beginning, if you'll tell us if you agree with that first. So I was wondering, instead of trying to guess what it's going to be, I'd like to know what you want it to be. What you would prefer it to be and to be used for?
You know, I sort of like their approach, right? It's sort of a scattershot approach to include a bunch of different features and see what really resonates and lands with consumers. I like that idea. I like the idea of using this thing to do everything as a ultimately one day a Mac replacement or an iPad replacement. I think would be pretty cool, right? To be able to do everything you normally do in your work environment, but do it in mixed reality. I think that would be quite cool. So looking forward to trying everything and seeing for me what sticks personally. I think video watching, right? And watching, you know, maybe the Lakers in there and highlights and such, I think could be quite compelling. So definitely looking forward to trying it out for sure.
What do you expect the headset to look like with what features? We've heard a lot about numerous cameras. You just mentioned what they could be used for, but and screens also, displays on the outside of the headset. What is true? What is not among all that?
Yeah, I mean, that's all true. I mean, the headset is going to look similar to the renders you've seen online already. It's going to look like, you know, the AirPods Max in some respects in terms of the materials used, the cushions, the molding, the overall form factor. The displays inside are going to be 4K each, micro-LED displays, extremely high resolution. There's going to be scanners inside of the displays that can read your eyes, right? Retina scanners to understand where you're looking. There's also going to be cameras on the exterior for a few things. One is for a technology called SLAM. That's to sense where you are in space and to basically shoot lasers around your environment to understand where you are. Also to enable the AR mode, right? The pass-through mode. And then you mentioned the display externally. That's to do a live replication of your eyes.
Wow. It's going to look so weird.
So you mean your eyes will be displayed on the outside of the headset?
Your eyes will be displayed on the outside. Yeah.
Max Headroom.
Max Headroom, says Gilles. Max Headroom, dit Gilles. But what is it? What is the purpose of having your eyes replicated on the outside?
Ah, well, you will have to tune into one of my future articles for a bit more insight into the decision making there. But I think it will be a key part of the product for sure. The amount of technology they're cramming into this device is, I think, unprecedented, right? It's going to be extremely complicated to produce. And that's why the development timeline has already hit 7 years, 8 years or such, right? Because it is so advanced. They're not leaving any stone unturned here in terms of the capabilities and the technologies and the offering, right? And that's why it's probably going to be between $2,500 and $3,000 US. I don't know how that compares, you know, to the euro, right? But it's going to be quite expensive. The same. So.
Yeah, they will add VAT, so it's going to cost a couple of hundred more, probably, at least.
Simple question. Have you seen it and have you tried it?
Have I seen the headset and have I tried it? I'm looking forward to trying it officially when it hits stores, in the next several months or so. Definitely looking forward to trying it. I have not tried
Okay.
it.
Maybe unofficially, maybe, peut-être pas officiellement. And we have the feeling that the headset, despite being a brand new product, will be arriving in a negative environment, partly because of Meta and the metaverse promise and many opportunist VR headsets that sucked, and that it doubles the challenge for Apple in terms of risks. What is Apple going to do in that mess?
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I think it's challenging enough to release a product that nobody thinks they need, a product that is overpriced, a product without a clear purpose. I think that's all very difficult already. But now you're throwing that product out into a uncertain market, right? That's been soiled in part by the instability that Meta has created for it. There has been so much bad press around Meta. Not necessarily having only to do with the metaverse, right? But the turmoil that the company has been through has sort of shown the world that maybe the metaverse and maybe, virtual reality and augmented reality products are not the next big thing, right? And so Apple not only has to sell consumers on why they should buy this product, but they have to sell consumers about why everyone else has been wrong about it. On top of that, they're launching this overpriced niche product that nobody probably really needs. In fact, I'll go as far as saying is nobody needs this, right? But you're going to want it.
Exactly.
They're selling it in a time where there's a lot of unmetaverse related economic turmoil and a lot of uncertainty in the world that has nothing to do with technology, right? And in times like these, people don't want to make decisions like that. They don't want to make purchasing decisions like that. Still, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to want it and are going to buy it, but I think the deck is sort of stacked against Apple in so many different ways for this product launch. But I'm not going to bet against Apple. I want to be clear, I'm not betting against
Oh,
Apple.
sure.
Is it true that Tim Cook went against the design team that succeeded after Evans Anki departure? Did he really oppose the design team to give a go despite internal opposition?
Yeah, I don't think so. There
Oh.
was a situation in 2018 where there was one part of the company wanted the headset to be fully standalone. Another part of the company wanted the headset to have a hub that if you connect to the hub wirelessly, the device will be even more powerful for graphics, for gaming. And the Apple executive team sided with the part of the company that wanted the device to be standalone, which makes more sense to me other than the external battery pack. And so I think that is the discrepancy, and that was the situation that some had referred to. But I don't think that there was disagreement or misalignment the way you described it or the way others have described it between Tim and the design team in terms of Tim pushing for the mixed reality headset.
So it was way before that it happened, but
I think
in a
it was
different
way
way.
before. I think there's way more to it, right? I think it's the situation I described. I think there's a bigger situation as well, which we'll get into in the future. But I don't think that Tim Cook pressured the design team to launch a product that they didn't want to launch. I think Tim Cook and the design team were on the same page. I'll just leave it at that.
Gilles, question from you.
Among all the uses that you mentioned, there is still one big historical absentee at the very heart of Apple's DNA, and that's education and more broadly training, especially since Microsoft has already positioned itself in the sector with its HoloLens. Has Apple kept some under wraps, or can't you tell us everything? Have you made an unbreakable vow or something?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
What about teaching and training and formation, Mark?
I have to imagine that there's going to be big applications for education for this device, right? And using mixed reality to learn, I think that it could enable new ways of virtual learning, right? And I think it could create more immersive virtual learning and remote learning. I think that certainly could be a very compelling use case for the device. And I'm personally looking forward to seeing, like yourself, how that all plays out. I definitely think that the App Store is going to be a big part of that. I wonder if Apple will actually release education tools for the device at the get-go. I would imagine a little later after the initial launch. They typically do that for education products. If you remember with the iPad, they sort of let developers show how they can make education software for it. And then Apple added things like schoolwork and, you know, other education programs there. I definitely think so. The App Store will be a big part of it. But I also think that Apple will play into it. And I think they, you know, some applications that they're working on, including Freeform, it's a collaborative app, a collaboration app that you've seen on Apple's devices today. I think those certainly could play into education use cases as well. Book reading, you know, that could play into it too. So I definitely think there's a lot of ways that they can integrate education, remote learning, and collaboration into this product. And I think it could be quite exciting. The problem, I'll tell you, is the price, right? The reason the iPad is able to be deep in education environments is because the price is fairly competitive, right? You can get an iPad for, I think, sub $300 on the education market, whereas we're talking about a device here that's going to cost 10x. So I think it's going to be very much more about personal education and remote education rather than schools buying these devices up, unless they have a big endowment.
Do you see a second headset, cheaper and maybe less premium, launched sometime next year for that reason?
I mean, at this point, given how long that this first headset has run behind, I wouldn't anticipate the second generation devices until the end of 2025 at the earliest. There'll be a new high end, so a second generation of this first headset. And then I think there'll be a new low end that's going to be probably at least $1,000 cheaper. You know, the first headset is very much filled with Mac-grade components, whereas I think that this lower price one will be more on the scale of iPhone components.
Fabrice, you have an idea of usage for the headset.
Mark, a little bit tongue-in-cheek, if I may. I was wondering if you thought all the Apple stores in the world already had been 3D scanned, so we could visit them through the headset.
Have they been 3D scanned already?
Do you think they have?
Oh, I have no idea. what would the purpose of that be, to visit an Apple store virtually?
So the thing is, we've seen... we're all looking for things to do with the headset, and also a nice demonstration to be done with the headset to demo its capacities, right? And at least in the Apple community, every time there's a new store opening, there are big titles and big, you know, articles about the, like, new stores in India, for example, recently. So I was wondering if it would be something, at least to demo it, to show its capacity.
It's possible. It's not something that I thought of. It's not something I've heard about. But certainly, I guess it's possible. I mean, I think it's more likely that you'll see demos related to maps or more famous places than within Apple retail stores themselves, right? Maybe you can take a virtual tour of the Taj Mahal or the Eiffel Tower or Buckingham Palace or the White House, right? Rather than, you know, an Apple retail store in Kentucky. I don't know.
I was talking about India, not Kentucky.
Well, or India. Yeah.
We've talked about the headset a lot. Everybody's talking about it, but wasn't the Apple Glasses supposed to be the next big thing from Apple? What happened to those glasses?
Yeah, the way to get there, though, to get to pure augmented reality, like I said, you have to sort of start with mixed reality, right? I mean, the technology is not as feasible to make AR glasses as, you know, some once thought, right? It's a long ways away. They've postponed those. They've delayed those. They've even, you know, in some respects, you can consider them canceled at this point. It's not something that they have line of sight towards right now. But I think they'll get there eventually. And the way to get there is starting with a mixed reality product.
Still a little hope for the glasses, Mark.
I have hope. Yeah, I have hope. I don't think it's going to be in the next 5 years, but I think it will happen.
Gilles, question from you.
Last Sunday on your Power On letter, you mentioned longer-term projects for Apple in the field of health and vision in particular, and the improvement of nearsighted myopia without much easier. Myopia without going too much details. Is there a possible feature for its augmented reality glasses?
I think it's certainly possible. The myopia features I was referring to are within the health app, to be able to plug in sort of your eye stats and the data there, how you're seeing at certain times of the day, some more vision management. I think it's certainly possible that the cameras could help that. You will be able to get versions of the Apple headset with prescription lenses and such. So I think it's certainly something they are thinking about.
I understood that we should get used to the term mixed reality. Are you certain about the name of the headset and the name of the OS that will run it? Because we heard several possibilities.
So the name of the OS will be XROS, and the name of the headset, according to the trademarks, will either be Reality Pro or Reality One. And I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what they end up choosing. It's always exciting to figure out what the name of the new product is going to be. Maybe it'll be something completely out of left field. Who knows? But it'll be exciting either way.
We'll know for sure on June 5th. And there are also Macs going their way to June 5. But the only one that seems almost certain, and is it certain, is the MacBook Air 15.5.
15-inch. There'll be a new 15-inch MacBook Air. I think it'll be quite popular for people who want the bigger screen size without the power and price of a MacBook Pro. Certainly, I think it would be appealing to me and many other people who are frequently traveling for work and such. So.
I listened to your taking part in the Mac Rumors podcast a few days ago, and I discovered that this large MacBook Air is one of Apple's oldest projects.
It is an old project. It's something they've tried to do a few times. They wanted to get it out alongside the 13-inch redesign last year, but I think they wanted to focus and get one out at a time, and, you know, it makes sense, right? Especially given the production issues they had last year.
Yeah. We dream of other Macs on June 5. And the first that comes to our mind is a Mac Pro with Apple Silicon. We've been waiting for so much time. Where is it?
Frequent delays. I certainly think there's a lot of delays, but I think they will get it out the door this year. It's going to be quite compelling from a performance standpoint, and I think it'll be interesting, the combination of Apple Silicon with the fans. Right. And so I think it'll be nice to see them finally get that out the door.
You aim at M3 with the Mac Pro. That's why it would be this year, but more likely at the end of the year.
I don't think it'll be M3. I think it'll be M2 Ultra.
Mm. Oh, that's interesting. How do you see the rest of the Mac Galaxy organized around that? Because some Macs will move to M3. So how could Mac Pro with M2 compare?
Right, but you'll have super high-end M2s and low-end M3s, right? It'll be 2 years or a year and a half before they could do like an M3 Ultra, right? And they're not going to wait. a year and a half. It's the same situation where they've had, you know, M1 Pro and M1 Maxes versus the M2s for a while, right? The regular M2s. So I think that's just the way that these things have to ramp and roll out.
Et si je te dis Mac Studio, il se passe quoi? If I tell you Mac Studio, what happens?
I think there'll be a new Mac Studio with the M3 generation. So maybe in about a year from now.
Wow.
Or a year and a half from now.
Mark, thank you so much for being on HireWeek. It was a true pleasure to have you again, and we'll follow you until June 5 and beyond for sure. Merci beaucoup.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you guys so much. See you next time. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Once again, thank you, Mark, and thank you to each of you listening for your attention. If you are on Apple Podcast, we'd really love to find a nice written review and a 5-star rating from you. It is so important to help us gain new listeners. You can follow us and retweet Twitter at iWeekNews, Instagram at iWeek.news, and Mastodon at iWeekNews@mastodon.world. Last, to support iWeek and our work done with so much passion, please consider joining on patreon.com/iWeek. I'm Benjamin Vincent from Paris, France. We'll see you again.